Oh, I thought you got another mic. You want to try that one? Oh, this one is better. Okay. So we will use this mic here. Then, as you cultivate, you no need to worry about the Pali word. You come to know the Pali word clearly. Huh? You understand clearly what the Buddha meant by that word. Huh? Yeah. That's why I want to, this chanting, I want to allow you to have that experience. So that when the Dhamma become clear, the Pali word become clear. Why I want you to learn a little bit of this Pali word is because Theravada tradition got a very good, very strong point because of the chanting. The Dhamma that is carried on until now, the words that the Buddha used, the actual words, they are still very authentic. Understand? That's why when I read the Pali, I understand very clearly the teaching of the Dhamma. Then when I read the Mahayana, actually quite a lot, run a little bit here and there, run a little bit here and there. Because over the year, it has become like that. But actually, Mahayana also got its good point. Because a lot of the sutta that Theravada never come to understand or accepted, like Heart Sutta, Platform Sutta, Diamond Sutta, Lotus Sutta, all the various, even Pure Land Sutta, they got the Wu Liang Shou Jing, you heard of that, right? Wu Liang Shou Jing, Miang Fa Lian Hua Jing, and all those things, Avang Tasaka Sutta, and all those things. There are many of these sutta. Actually, when you read through that Mahayana Sutta, I realize a lot run. Even those commentators who try to interpret those things, quite a lot of places run. Not so accurate and not so authentic. And all this you will know, because as you cultivate, the heart that realizes it can understand all this. So tonight, we will mix. When we come to the bowing, we chant the Pali. Then when we come to the... Oh, that one was morning chanting. Evening chanting don't have. The Rupang Anichang one was morning chanting. I think. Evening chanting don't have. Evening chanting is just salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Recollection of the Triple Gem. Okay, never mind. So we just... go through. Okay, we go through the evening chanting first, then I will share with you and use the Pali term to explain. I need Joyce and Chui and Sue and Li Hun to help. Okay, can we start? To the blessed one. Page 8. The mic. Where's the mic? Oh, you have the mic. Okay.
To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the blessed one's disciple who has practiced well, to this the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generation. May this simple offering be accepted for our long-lasting benefit. And for the happiness it gives us, the Lord, the perfectly enlightened and the blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Okay, after that you chant the Pali before you bow. We chant the Pali. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddham Bhagavantam Avivadimi The meaning is, to the Buddha, the blessed one, the fully enlightened one, or the perfectly enlightened one, I render my homage.
Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamma Namasami.
So the same, to the Dhamma, we go for refuge.
Supatipanyo Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami.
So pay respect, take homage. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Blessed one, noble and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed one, noble and the perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble and the perfectly enlightened one.
So this one, the equivalent Pali, you look at the left hand side, the next page on the left. The Pali is very familiar. You all have been chanting this. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. You repeat 3 times. The meaning is this. Homage to the blessed one, the noble one, and the perfectly enlightened one. Our Theravada tradition in Malaysia, we translate it slightly different. We call it the worthy one. We don't call it the noble one. Asana. We say homage to thee, the blessed one. Blessed one means what? The Buddha is blessed with what? Wisdom and virtue. And that's all. He is perfect in both. That's why he is fully enlightened, not only enlightened. Then he is the worthy one because he is the Arahant, the fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha. That's why he is worthy of offering, respect, give, and hospitality. Then the last part is, they call it perfectly enlightened. We call it the fully enlightened. So it's a matter of words. So the meaning is, when you pay homage sincerely, then you develop the reverential salutation. It not only strengthens your faith, no. You do it with understanding, with a lot of sadha and virya. Then you do it mindfully. The field of merit is immeasurable. Understand that? That refuge will connect you to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, the Triple Gem, wherever it arises when you are around. Then after that, the field of merits is incomparable, limitless, because these are the great beings. They are called the gemstone in this universe. You know what is gemstone, You know precious stone, Gemstones are the most precious of the precious stone. It's called a gem. That's why it's a triple gem. In the universe, only this triple gem you can find the truth. Understand? Without the triple gem, there is no truth. That's why the Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, he will have the teaching. Where he realized this nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why that is the Dhamma. So any religion that can explain the way things are, that know this truth, they are the real religion. That's all. Then it can understand life, it can understand existence, it can understand everything. Then the third one is the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. They sure have the teaching because otherwise they cannot be enlightened. That's the meaning of refuge. That's the meaning of paying homage. Then salutation. So after paying homage to the Buddha, now we go to the actual what they call salutation to the Buddha. The 9 great virtues. So recollection of the Buddha, I will read that. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha.
A word of the blessed one, reputation has spread as follows. He, the blessed one, is indeed the pure one,
the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained.
He is the teacher of gods and men. He is awake and holy.
Okay, the next one is Supreme Praise of the Buddha. Now let us chant the Supreme Praise of the Buddha.
The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conqueror, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and Guide. The Buddha is sorrow's destroyer, whose bestowed blessing on me. To the Buddha I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. Then you bow and ask for forgiveness. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Okay, now we will do the recollection of the Dhamma, the uniqueness of the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Dhamma. The Dhamma is well expounded by the Blessed One, apparent here and there now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading inward, to be experienced individually by the wise.
Now let us chant the Supreme Praise of the Dhamma.
It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revere the excellent teaching that which removes darkness. The Dhamma which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and Guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Dhamma I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By the devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
Then you bow and ask for forgiveness from the Dhamma. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there will be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Okay, before we go to the third refuge, recollection of the Sangha, I want to recite to you the Pali on. Okay, you turn back to page 10. Recollection of the Dhamma. So this one is the Pali on. You have to understand this one, because this explain to you clearly what the Dhamma is, according to the Buddha's word. So I read to you. The beginning one, the one is not important. It's their Thai way of reciting. Handamayang Dhammano Namanu Satinya Yang Karamase. Then after that they will chant. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachetang Veditabo Nohiti. So you see, every time when you develop the cultivation or the meditation or the practice, you check against this one, whether you have got the real Dhamma or not. Understand? If it doesn't fulfill this, it's not the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. Understand? Then you will know why I say energy field or the condition state or fantastic meditation experience all doesn't fit into this. So I explain to you the English translation. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Bhagava is the Buddha. Swakato is well expounded, is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Understand? Then what is this Dhamma, the Buddha said? This Dhamma is Sanditiko. What is Sanditiko? They say apparent here and now. If they don't explain, this one can have a lot of meaning. Apparent in the here and the now, means what? No, you all like apparent in the here and the now. Means what? Like in the school, it's like very apparent, easily can understand and see. But actually, the actual translation, Chief Reverend Kesari Dhammananda, one better. Sanditiko means can be realized in the here and the now. Understand? Not apparent. Understand? Can be realized in the here and the now. Means before you die. Understand? The so-called form of mind die. That's why certain religion promise the kingdom of God or ultimate salvation upon death. Understand? But this one, no, the Buddha said, this Dhamma is a living Dhamma. It is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. Understand? So I want you to get that thing right. Then, akaliko. What is the translation there? Timeless. They just tell you timeless. So how you translate? No time one. How can there be no time one? The physical world keep on rotating, time keep on passing by. Time here is psychological time. You got two types of time. Physical time, where we measure one rotation of Earth is 24 hours. Then the rotation of this Earth around the Sun is 1 year. That is physical time. Physical time always exists. Physical time you cannot stop. That's why the first night we say, "Time and time, wait for." No, they don't wait for you. The tide come and go. Time also keep on flowing, and that is physical time. But here the Buddha meant psychological time. Psychological time is what? When you arise the thought. Then, like the Buddha said, the mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Understand? So when you arise a thought, psychological time comes to be. Understand? To you, there is life. Understand? Psychologically, you are living because you use thought. Understand? This psychological life or psychological thinking is time. That's why the Dhamma you realize is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the thinking mind. Understand? That's why it's not thought based on. It's beyond. That's why it's the timeless, akaliko. So you ask yourself this very simple question. If what you want to realize, the Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, How can you realize it if you use the instrument that is below it? Understand not? If you use the instrument of thought to try to cultivate and practice and practice and try to realize a Dhamma that is beyond thought, you tell yourself, you answer me, is it possible? You cannot do it, isn't it? You have to realize something that is beyond thought. So you have to use an instrument that is more superior than thought. Understand not? Means what? Like just now I explained to you. Which is more superior than thought? Awareness. Awareness can see thought. Understand not? Thought is the byproduct of that pure nature. Understand not? That's why it's condition arising. From that pure awareness, together with the senses upon contact, the aggregate of mind come about. That is the mundane mind. That is the thinking mind. Understand? That is the byproduct from the true nature. That's why I asked you all this question. I don't know how many of you really investigate and inquire. I already explained to you just now. Yeah? If feeling is not you, if perception is not you, if activity of mind, sankhara is not you, consciousness is not you, then how come it arise in you? Remember? Then who are you? What are you? So last time in the early 2005 transcript notes, I got give a hint. Because they also puzzle, they also cannot understand. If it's not me, how come it arise in my form and mind? And so on. Because you never really silence your mind, meditate and investigate and find out. That's why this Dhamma is so beautiful. So I give a hint, I say, these are not your true mind. These are byproduct from your true mind. Byproduct means what? From the true nature it arises. Where is condition arising? That's why all this aggregate feeling, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana, they are subject to nature's law. They have the characteristic, universal characteristic of impermanent, understand not? Suffering state and empty nature, or non-self nature. So that's the reason why this so-called mind, mundane mind, is not the eternal mind, is not the true mind, is not the essence of mind, understand not? It's not your true nature. But that nature is not a person, not a being. Understand? It's just a nature, like your karmic nature. Understand? Understand? So this one is the source of all nature. Understand? Source is from the beginning, everything arises. It is the source of all things. That's why some call it the source. The Buddha call it the Buddha nature. Because when you realize perfect enlightenment, you have this Buddha nature that is the oneness nature. Understand? Nothing is apart from that nature. Like the Tao, the Laozi's teaching, You know, heard of the Tao or not? Tao ke Tao, fei chang Tao. The Tao that can be known, can be talked about, is not the true Tao. You keep on talking Dhamma. Truth is beyond words, beyond thought. Cannot talk. It can only be realized. So you cannot practice on it. You cannot do one. Then this what they call the Tao. He somehow say nothing is apart from the Tao. Understand? Not? Everything is within the Tao. So he just draw one full circle. Then he draw like an S. He separate the black from the white. Understand? Not? He said, within the black, there is one dot of white. Yeah. This is the way duality is. And within the white, there is one dot of black. So it can have a lot of meaning. Because the Tao is like that. That's why that is the symbol. Understand not? Means what? Every profession, whether good or bad profession, white or black, they have their black sheep inside there. Understand not? So even within the deluded one, there is still a dot of enlightened one. Understand? So even within the community of those beautiful Sangha, there is still the dot that creates Sikhism. Understand? During the Buddha's time, you remember? Devadatta, remember? Oh, that Sangha was so beautiful. Everything was perfect. But Devadatta, together with the group, instigated the schism, everything. And there is the dot inside there. So the Tao is a very beautiful teaching. So now you understand what is sanditiko, akaliko. Then the next one is what? Ehi paseko. The translation is what? Which is correct. Encouraging investigation. But a better word will be, you see, it can stand up to investigation, not investigate for yourself. You say, encouraging investigation. That Dhamma is not like that, understand? No? I encourage you to investigate. But it doesn't mean that Dhamma stand up to investigation, understand? No? You understand or not? Because this Dhamma is the truth, the Buddha say. He is not scared how you investigate, understand? It will stand up to investigation. That's why I say the translation also not so accurate, understand? Encouraging investigation, understand? So now you see, apparently you look like, wow, a lot of Dhamma, so beautiful, understand? But those who already understood, they look, they will understand that it's not so accurate, not so precise, understand? Mahayana teaching is like that, understand? A lot are like that, understand? Because they interpret, and sometimes it's because of translation problem, I think, the English word. This is Theravada. What I try to tell you is, even this Theravada, which you all commonly accepted like so beautiful, they have their way of interpretation, because the people who translate at that time understand it this way. They must have followed some Thai translation somewhere and improved on it. But yet, it's not perfect. Not like very accurate. Because that person who did the translation and the group that time that approved it didn't have the understanding yet. Understand not? So now you see, when I say this Dhamma stand up to investigation, it's very different, isn't it? Very accurate, isn't it? I'm not scared how you investigate. It's the truth. The truth will stand up to investigation. Understand not? That's why this Dhamma is ehi paseko. Understand? Of course, it can also, you are invited to come and investigate. Understand? But they forgot the last part. It stand up to investigation. Understand? Because it's the truth. Understand? And the truth stand up to investigation. So when you do your cultivation, the seven factor enlightenment, you remember that? The first thing is the T. First factor enlightenment. Then after that, only you can start the second one. What is the second one? Dhamma vichaya. Understand? Dhamma investigation. And a lot of people just say, yeah, investigate Dhamma. You know, this second factor enlightenment is so different, no? Because this Dhamma can stand up to investigation, you're supposed to investigate it, no? Then after you investigate, then you realize that it confirms the reality. You know what happened or not? You got so much joy, understand? Because what the Buddha has spoken, you can put to test and investigate, and it stand up to investigation. Means you know this is the truth. I don't have to believe the Buddha. Understand not? This is the Dhamma. This is how the nature's law of karma, law of the mind, and law of dependence. This is how they operate, how they govern life and existence. And this is something that I can put to test. Like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, verse 183. 21, 22, 23, and all the Dhammapada verse, and all the teaching, even the five hindrances, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots, seven, five, all you can put to test is stand up to investigation. Then what happened to you? Your faith becomes so strong, isn't it? You got no more doubt, isn't it? That's how you become enlightened, isn't it? When your spiritual faculty become unshakable, means what? Your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha become unshakable. The spiritual faculty become balas, power. Then when you become a sotapan, the first three factors, you are severe. And the first set factor is sakkayaditti. Then after that, automatic. That's why once you break the first one, second and third, automatic. Second one is what? rites and ritual. You will never believe, like people say, you die already, how, and all those things. Then people tell you, karma not like that one. You will know already. You cannot believe in all that. Then they ask you to go and ask medium, ask this one, ask that one. They say, die already, you must do this and do that, otherwise the dead will come in after you and all. You say, never mind. No one die. Nothing die. Understand? So rite and ritual, all this belief, spirit, medium, all, you don't already know meaning on. This is what human mind create. Not to say they don't have, they have, but what for? Understand now? The truth, the reality is, he know you, he know me. All these are the beings that take rebirth within the 31 plane. Understand now? So when you understand this second factor, gone. You cannot be deluded anymore. We have even the sotapan. You say, die already, what and what. He said, never mind. Because they know sakayaditi, he know you, he know me. Then the third one is what? Yeah? Unshakable faith in the triple gem. Understand? That's why when you have balanced power, your faith becomes unshakable. Chances are you very fast become sotapan, or you already sotapan, I tell you. Because when you can investigate the Dhamma until it stand up to investigation, means you already have the sati, understand? You already done the Dhamma investigation and you confirm that is the teaching. That's why it's ehi paseko, understand? Then that time, your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha become unshakable. Then what happened? Huh? Then you become more determined and want to cultivate, isn't it? Correct, right? And what is that? That is your virya, isn't it? Spiritual tenacity, isn't it? The spiritual, what they call, zeal, spiritual tenacity or zeal. And that is the third factor of enlightenment, understand? That's how the factor of enlightenment, one after another, arise, understand? Then when there is this virya, you will determine and seriously walk the path and cultivate, understand? That's why I told you, sadha virya there, sati will arise, understand? And then this sati become power again, unshakable again, understand? Until it's so stable, the daily mindfulness. That's how this sati become powerful and it become heedful, understand? Then when sati stabilize, the fourth factor of enlightenment, which is piti, spiritual zeal, spiritual rapture or what they call spiritual calmness or spiritual. It's not a bliss, it's a joy. It will automatically arise and keep on arising. And this is the one, together with the virya, the piti, it will make you very, very different. Yeah, the virya drive you, then the piti arise, then you know you are on the right path. So there is a lot of joy. So the joy will continue to spur you to cultivate. Then finally, you will realize the fifth factor of enlightenment. Because when this piti stabilizes, it will accumulate into sukha. Sukha is what they call bliss, spiritual bliss. But it's not an enlightenment factor. So you cannot get trapped there. Those who do energy field, jhana, concentration, all trapped there. Because sukha is one of the five jhana factors. You know what are the jhanic factor or not? The five jhanic factor. What are they? Those who do jhana. One point is the last one. Vitaka vichara. Some they call it the initial application of thought. See? The word thought. Then vichara is sustained thought. Sustain it. Understand? Note. Focus. Concentrate. That is sustained thought. Vitaka is applied thought. Then vichara is sustained thought. Then what happened? Third one, piti arise. That's why they move from jhana to jhana. Then later on, piti also not so refined. The piti also gone. Then sukha arise. And sukha is spiritual bliss. It's not an enlightenment factor. Then after that, the mind becomes so blissful, then they lock everything into one point, become ekagata, one point another, and then they develop energy field. That's why the five jhanic factor, the jhana factor, only piti is the enlightenment factor. That's why you cannot break free, understand? You will get trapped. because it's all thought, applied thought, sustained thought. So there is no sati inside there. So you go into absorption, concentration, you get stuck. And this is not what the Buddha meant by that Dhamma, that's not. You can follow now. Because it's beyond thought. You cannot use thought, that's not. And it's all thought-based because the one-pointedness, they say, no thought, like the enlightenment. But who say it's no thought? Huh? Who? The thought say no thought. Well, everything is skilled into one point. And it's still thought-based. The meditator say, no thought, we cannot move. Understand? Everything one-pointedness with the energy field. Like I told you, the steel bar inside there. Cannot move. Like, no thought. Sankara all cannot arise. Everything is suppressed. So, you think, yes, no thought. But it's still a thought. Well, who say it's no thought? The thought say it's no thought. So that's how you get trapped and you don't know that you are trapped. So coming back to the seven factor enlightenment, when you reach sukha, you have to be careful. You cannot like tell yourself, oh, this is the real meditation. This is so blissful, so wonderful. And you keep on wanting to repeat this experience. Every time you go into it, it's so blissful. It's really blissful, and I tell you, I went through that during the early day. That bliss you cannot describe. The mind has never experienced such bliss. It's like so blissful, you know. Inside there, I also don't know how to describe it. Then, the next one is, if you don't attach and don't cling, this sukha, you continue to relax and just silent your mind away, then it will cease to be yourself. Then this mind become very quiet, very still, very silent. Then the fifth factor of enlightenment, paucity. Paucity is the silent mind. Understand? The tranquil, the still mind. The mind that is in sati, silent. No movement. No need concentration. No need conditioned mind. No need jhana to hold it in sati. Means the mind with the understanding and the wisdom has entered sati. So paucity is tranquility or stillness of mind. And this one, if you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Understand? Because when your stillness, tranquility becomes so stable, it's like unwavering. Understand? Collected. Means samadhi is there. Continuous mindfulness, born of the refined practice. That's why I say, when you develop the meditation, anapanasati, until this anapanasati becomes very still, very, very subtle, silent, like no more breathing, everything becomes like so quiet. And that is the time the mind wants to enter sati, want to become paucity, want to connect to the silent mind, understand, to your nature. But people don't understand. You know what they do? They tell you to switch to sitting, touching. Understand? Then do other vipassana meditation. I don't know how people understand it that way. But it is a very common practice. Because they believe in doing. Understand? You must do. The real meditation, nothing to do. Understand? Where there is no thought, no doer. The doer is the thought, the meditator is the thought. Why you want to allow the thought to come and interfere with the real meditation? The real meditation is trust, silent. Trust your nature and allow it to cease. Allow it to silent and go in and connect. That is the real one. But that thing already not in the teaching. I read around, I cannot find any book that write about it and talk about it. That's how I came to understand. I went through that myself. I just silent everything. Then somehow it dropped to the heart. Then I was lucky, my last guide teacher told me that somewhere around there towards the left is a gateway. At first I didn't know. It dropped to the heart, then I was so mindful throughout the day. And my awareness always returned to the heart. Then every time I aware one. That's why I come to understand, if you take care of mind take care of you. That is the meaning. Throughout the day, this mind aware. Every moment of seeing, every moment of hearing, every moment of consciousness, this mind aware. Non-stop. That's why that time I understand a lot of things. I already actually developed the initial understanding. Then later when I met this last teacher, the first meeting, I don't know who he is, he don't know who I am, and I don't want to meet him actually initially, 6-7 times. But finally my nature know, if it keep on arising conditions, 6-7 times, normally 2 times, maximum 3 times, I will go already. I will know this is the person I'm supposed to be. But this one, that time, I don't need any more teacher and guidance. So that's why I was so reluctant to see him. But somehow, it was connected to my vow. I have to see him. Then I determined, after the 6th time, I say, okay, I will see him. Then the 7th time, I met him. The first thing he asked me, he hold my hand, he held my hand, he said, do you forget about what your friend in Singapore tell you about me, he said, about him. I just want you to know one thing, he said. My meditation is very simple, he said. 3 things, he said. First, he said, relax. Oh, sorry, 4 things. Relax. Then, aware. The 3rd one is 24-hour awareness. Then the last one is trust. Well, I immediately say, no problem. I trust you because I have done the 3rd 3. Understand? I already know how to relax. I already develop awareness, very stable, until I can do it 24-hour, even in my sleep. Then the last one, I tell him, I don't understand. You know the next question he asked me, what? Where do you return your awareness? Because he already knew I have that. That's why he can feel, he can say, I point to the heart center. He straight away tell me, straight in the face, no, wrong. And very funny, you know, at that time, I was not shocked. Because from the conversation and the energy and everything that I can feel, I know this person understands one. He understands something that I still have not realized on. That's why after that, he said, do you trust me? 1 word, no. I say, 100% I trust you. I went out with my wife, no, actually. Then he said, okay, sit down. Then he pointed towards my heart, the left-hand side. He said, here. Don't go here. Center is hell, he said. Go here. There is a gateway, he said. You can enter from here. Then I just silent my mind, but I know how to meditate, I know how to relax, I know how to just allow the mind to be made silent. Then he very good. He from a distance about 2 inches from my heart here, he just moved his pure energy. Then he activated 1 point. Very funny, you know. It just make me aware, you know. My nature just detect that point very fast, you know. Immediately when that thing happened, I no need him to teach me already. Straight away, all my energy move. Everything that I have developed melt inside there, and my whole nature connected. That's why that one speed up my cultivation. If I were to look for it myself, my nature tell me that time, at least 10 to 15 years I have to waste before I can develop that understanding. So just imagine 10 to 15 years I won't be here sharing with you. Understand? By the time I developed that, you know what he tell me or not? Teo. He always call me Teo. He said, you are very lucky. He said, I say, why? Do you know? For all those who can find this gateway, almost all of them, he said, at least 80 years old already. Understand? Huh? Means very near the end. 80 years old he can find, you know, and by that time they find not much time left. Understand? Huh? That's why I was very lucky. And I found it at the age of 35. You know? Exactly like the Buddha became enlightened at the age of 35. You know? That's why it's very funny, huh? Very strange. So after that, because I have the Dhamma, that's why I understand everything. Because my dad last teacher was energy field, consciousness, but very high occult player. Pure psychic. a lot of pure energy. He is an expert in consciousness. He also has his path and very special. But different way, understand? The Dhamma way is different. That one to him is the occult, very powerful. He believes in the true self, is it? There is a true self, the true me, the me inside there, is it? Because they do all those energy field, consciousness, they move the consciousness. It's very different. You don't have to know. This one you cannot understand. Very difficult. So what I'm trying to share with you is the Dhamma is very unique, very special. I think we overrun the time a bit. Never mind. I just finish off this one. Sandhitiko akaliko ihi pasiko. Then opanaiko. What is opanaiko? This Dhamma leads inward. Inward to where? Lead inward to where? Lead inward to the heart, anasana. That's why opanaiko, leading inward. That's why the Mahayana will tell you, reverse the light and return, anasana. Human beings' problem is you become heedless and deluded because you always come out, anasana. Come out through what? Through the sense door, through the consciousness, anasana. So you look outside, anasana. But truth is within, correct or not? Somebody's t-shirt I saw, truth is within. Who was wearing it? Was it Jennifer? I think Jennifer. You check her t-shirt. Your t-shirt. So truth is within. You keep on looking outside. Understand? Use your thought to meditate, to look for truth, look for Dhamma. You ask yourself, how can you find truth? Truth is within, understand? Within your nature, understand? Only nature can realize the truth, can insight into, can have the direction. So you have to reverse the light, hui guang fan zhao, and look inside, understand? Look is using the awareness, understand? Let's see how your mind gets stirred, how sankhara come to be, how the dependent origination create all this delusion. How avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijja, how the link all, one by one, you start to see and understand. Then how the Four Noble Truths within your own form and mind, how you get entangled into suffering, how you deludedly grasp and cling onto this five-year form and mind, thinking that it's you, sakaya diti, that condition you to become miserable, deluded. So all this you can witness. You can actually put to test and you will see all this Dhamma inside you. That's why the real meditation is very different. The real cultivation is very different. It's opanaiko, leading inward. From within, you understand everything. Because that mind is always within. Within your form, trapped inside. That's why you must reflect, investigate, and return everything through awareness to silence your mind, to understand what is going on. How this sankhara come to be, how consciousness come to be, how upon contact when consciousness arise, how you deludedly grasp and cling and react and say, I see sakaya diti. Then how your views and opinion immediately condition you into reacting, arising the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, and all the wrong thought leading to the wrong speech, wrong action and the wrong livelihood. And this is all very clear inside. But living being without mindfulness cannot see, cannot understand. So this Dhamma is opanaiko. If you don't lead you back within to your nature, to your heart, to see the form and mind, then it's not the Dhamma. Understand? Then the last one is what? Pacetang. Veditabo. Inohiti. What is the meaning? Can only be realized, not experienced, by the wise. Each for themselves. Because truth has to be realized. Understand? Truth is not an experience. Understand? You read Krishnamurti, you will know. What is experience? Experience is of the thought from the past. Understand? That's why you experience something fantastic. Understand? That's why all the meditative experience that you go through, they are of the past. Understand? They are not the truth. Understand? They are conditioned arising state. No. But when you realize it is beyond thought, beyond mind, you know, it's not an experience. You know. Because there is no one inside there to experience anything, understand or not? Understand or not? That form and mind is not you, no. All our experience come from your mental state, no. Sankara, no. So how can you experience the Dhamma? Understand or not? You have to realize the Dhamma, awaken to the Dhamma. So when you are already so clear, words become very precise, understand or not? Understand or not? That's why I always say, I prefer to use the word realize. Understand? They always use the other word, attain. Attain enlightenment. So, what is the meaning? Somebody attain, isn't it? How can you attain when there is an I inside there? There is no one to attain. It's just through wisdom, the mind realizes itself, the egoic mind, the mundane mind realizes itself, and ceases to be. The former mind understand, then it ceases to be. There is no one inside there to attain anything. No one inside there to be enlightened. That's why when you start to talk and speak like that, everybody is frightened and panic. Don't know what that. What are you trying to tell people? Last time I cannot say all this because when I say overrun, so now you understand. It can be only realized by the wise, each for themselves. It is not an experience. It's a realization, awakening beyond thought, beyond mind, and no one inside there. That's why the real one is so different. But apparent one in writing is like a lot of Dhamma, like a lot of truth. I used to hear you just say, Pratyo, yeah, I went to that workshop. That's what they say is quite similar to what you say. Then I just smile. I say, yeah. Because Dhamma is like that. Understand? When you have not had the understanding, everything is like very, very beautiful Dhamma. Understand? During the early years, you don't believe me. All those books you read, like, wow, a lot of Dhamma, beautiful. And I tell you, if you continue to cultivate and you have some form of insight and realization, you go and read back all those books, you come to realize that a lot of things that is written, the words are not precise anymore. They are not what it is anymore. Then you look, you don't want to read already. You say, it's okay. They are what they are. At that level, they write like that. Understand? That's why later on, when you start to read truth, you will know it. When you read the truth, the person who already realized, you can use any word. As long as the truth, he will understand. That's why Hui Ning illiterate. He doesn't learn anything. But when he speaks, the Dhamma is the truth. Everybody understand. That's why the Heart Sutta, that poem, since you was the successor who was supposed to take over from the fifth patriarch. So the fifth patriarch, before he hand over that thing, he told all the disciples, anybody who can write me a poem that reflects his understanding of the Dhamma, I will hand over the patriarchship. So since you finally wrote one, so they thought, very good, because that one is at the Theravada traditional cultivation type of poem. He said, our body is like a Bohi tree. You know Bohi is tree of enlightenment. Our body is like a Bohi tree, which is correct. Where the Buddha also said under the Theravada teaching, within this phantom-length body of ours, along with perception, mindfulness, and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means the Four Noble Truths is inside this phantom-length body. Understand? You know why it's inside? We already heard the Four Foundations of Mindfulness is the only way, isn't it? Correct? So the Four Foundations, what are they? First one is Kaya, physical form. Your breath, your whatever, rising, falling, on form. This is within your body, understand? Then second foundation is what? Feeling, Vedana. within this form of mind got Vedana. Got Vedana, is it? That's why you can cultivate Vedana. No, then consciousness, is it? Chitta, no, and then all the Dhamma is inside there. Is it? That's why within this phantom length body, the form foundation of mindfulness is there. That's why since you knew, he said, our body is like a Bodhi tree. Like a tree that can make you enlightened. And perfectly right. But his mistake is, the second one, he said, our mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. That one is the mundane mind. He cultivate until this mundane mind already very, very perfect. He is at the gateway of enlightenment. But he cannot enter that door. Because he hold on to that mind. That's why he cultivate mindfulness until, he said, polish until it shine, so that no dust can alight. You understand not? That mind, he thought, is his true mind. He said, every time, polish until it shine, means very mindful, so that no dust can alight. Understand not? You ask yourself, Theravada cultivation start like that, understand not? Ever mindful, cultivate, understand not? That avoid all evil, do good. He understood the first two advice of the Buddha, but he don't understand the third advice. Purify the mind. Purify the mind is to develop the wisdom to awaken and to realize the true mind to connect. But he couldn't let go of this mind. No? He thought meditation is what? I must perfect myself. No? Perfect myself is what? I must always have mindfulness to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. So like, right effort, very hardworking. So, polish until it shine, so that no dust can light. So that this one, the samadhi, the sati, everything, very, very perfect. So what will happen to this type of cultivator? Yeah? How can you live life? You are busy, ever mindful, cultivating, but you don't realize the wisdom. You don't see the universal characteristic of impermanent suffering state and non-self. You cannot see the real Dhamma inside. You're only interested in pure. Understand? Means what? The pure mind, without defilement. That's why polish until it shines so that no dust can light. But the sixth patriarch, that time, training, before he became a sixth patriarch, he go out to the war, they talk about it. He doesn't know how to read. So he asked somebody next to him. He said, can you read to me? Then he read. Sun Futi Su, all those things. Then after he hear, although he literate, but he understand that this sense you hasn't really connect to the nature. Hasn't gone beyond thought, beyond mind. He's at the gateway of enlightenment, but he cannot go in. Then he tell this guy, he said, can you help me to write or not? I also got one poem. He said, you illiterate. How can you got poem? Then Hui Neng tell him, the true cultivator of the way does not discriminate like that. Understand? Whether you educated or not educated, understand? Illiterate or not, or learn that. Because Dhamma is not about knowledge, understand? Not about education, understand? It's about understanding the mind, the heart, the nature. So when he wrote the poem, everybody was stunned. You know what the poem was? He said, Po Ti Peng Wu Su. He said, Bohi, which is the enlightenment, which is the Dhamma, which is the wisdom, is not a tree, understand? It's not a tree. And the worst one was the second one, is it? Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. He said, the true mind is not like that. There is no mirror bright, no stand. Then he said, Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu, He Chu Re Chen Ai. He said, originally there was nothing. There were candle dust alight. Understand not? You understand not? Because that true nature just aware. No discrimination. No right, no wrong. No good meditation, bad meditation. Understand not? No like Dhamma anasara, and why all evil do good? That nature is this, that nature anasara. Originally there was nothing, empty anasara. So where can the dust alight? Since you don't understand, because he used the mundane mind to cultivate, that's why he created the dust anasara. What is dust? Defilement, evil root anasara, wrong thought, all the negativity one anasara. So this is dust, this is defilement. When you use thought-based meditation, this is the result. Because you created the duality, you created defilement, then what you do? Yeah? You polish until it shines so that this dust does not align. But in the first place, who created this dust? The mundane mind, the thought. Because it separate. It tells you, this is wrong. This is right. This is defilement. This is wholesomeness. So, what you do? You attach to right, wholesomeness. You reject unwholesomeness. Anasana. When you are doing that, you cannot develop wisdom. Anasana. What is the middle way, the middle path? To transcend duality. Anasana. The two extreme and duality. So, how can you transcend duality? Because when you create the defilement, like let's say you created right, anasana. If it's like that, good meditation, right, I want. Anasana. If like that, dust, defilement, wrong meditation, I don't want. So what actually happens? Yeah? This duality comes from what? Come from your thought. You have a concept, a view, and an opinion of what is right, what is good meditation, anasana, what is pure. Anasana. So anything not according to that view, the other side automatically arises, no? Understand not? The duality, understand not? If it's not like that, then you say bad, wrong, understand not? So, duality is like that, understand not? Like the Buddha said, imas means sati, idang hoti. Imas means asati, idang ahoti. What is the meaning? The Buddha said, when this arises, that arises. Because you create, understand not? You create right? Automatic wrong arise. That's what Lao Tzu also understand the Tao. So if you don't create, what happens? No right, no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. Condition arising, phenomenal world. And then you can accept everything. Then you no need to do. You know how difficult or not? Every day maintain the mindfulness. Understand? And make sure polish until it shines so that no dust can lie. It's like the gardener that guard your factory every day cannot sleep. No? When you're busy doing that, how can you live life? How can you understand life? How can you see things? How can you insight into things? That's why he's at the gateway. He should let go of this mundane mind because he doesn't know that this is the thought, this is the mundane mind, condition arising mind. The true mind is completely different. That's why he said the true mind is neither a mirror bride or a stand. You know why he said it's a mirror bride? Because he got the first part of the Buddha's teaching. Your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So mind creates, understand? So he said this mind is like a mirror bride, understand? It reflects everything, understand? Whatever that arises, it perceives, then it reflects, understand? That's why it's like a mirror bright, reflect. You know what is reflection, isn't it? Huh? Everything that goes into it is reflected out, understand? It's like sense or consciousness, understand? When it arises, it comes out, understand? It arises, it comes out. So, he said it's like a mirror bright. So that's why he said, every time must polish this mirror, understand? This mind, must keep it pure, understand? So that no dust can align. Yeah. And he doesn't know that this is the mundane mind. And because of that, he can never penetrate the Dhamma. That's why the fifth Peter tell him, go and write me another poem. You are not bad, quite good, but you still haven't realized that nature. You still don't understand what is the true mind. That's why he cannot receive the sixth Patriarch, the bowl and the rope and all those things. Whereas Hui Ning, after that poem, the fifth basis saw his cat got problem. He said, rub it off, rub it off. Then he went to the kitchen and give a sign, knock on the thing 3 times, I think. Meaning at night, what time you come. And then he hand over the patriarchship together with the mind-to-mind seal, the ultimate Dhamma. Then when Hui Ning heard that the true Dhamma is just like that, he was full of joy. He like suddenly completely enlightened. No? That's why you saw the poem there. The center one. Jian Xing. Read to me, what is it? Ming. Read louder. Ah, Jian Xing, Chen Fo. This was what happened to Hui Ning. And he wrote this poem. After that. It's in your note. I don't know how many of you read. Jian Xing, Chen Fo. You see this nature, you connect back. You can be the Buddha. Understand? Xing is your Zi Xing, original nature. Understand? Your Buddha nature. You can become the Buddha. No? Because this is your true nature, your true mind. Not the mundane mind, not the thinking mind, not the conditionalizing mind. That one is not the real one. That's why if you use thought base, you get trapped, you cannot break free. So, Hui Ning just express joy and awe. Is it? Who in this world will ever understand that the true nature is so simple? He used the word, so simple. Just like that. Nothing more than that. Understand, no? And nothing is apart from that. Everything comes from there. And everything sits back to there. Just like that. Like certain Zen master used to say, your hand, front and back. He said, you flip it over, you become the Buddha. Understand, no? But you don't know how to flip. Why? Because you deluded. Literally inverted. You see things upside down. Understand? That's why Mahayana used the word tian tao. Understand? Inverted view. Understand? Tian tao. Because you every time see things terbalik. Understand? That's why I always say, human being very funny. You know? Whatever that you think is the truth, the reality and the truth is the opposite. You know? Completely opposite. You know? Oh, like you say real, never real. Like you say I see, my mind see. Very logical, isn't it? But the truth is the other way around. I alone don't see, my alone don't see. Then you are, who see? No one to see. How can no one to see? Every day I see. When you say every day I see, means in Hokkien every day you die. That's why you never see. Okay, we have to end. So this one summarizes the Dhamma. We finished the supreme praise of the Sangha. Now we go back to page 12. Then after that we can start our next one. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha, page 13.
They are the blessed ones, disciple, who have practiced well, who have practiced directly, who have practiced insightfully, those who practice with integrity, that is the four path, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciple, such ones are worthy of gifts. Worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings. guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue. I revere the assembly of noble beings, perfectly in purity the Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings unto me. To the Sangha I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. Bow, then ask for forgiveness from the Sangha.
By body, speech, and mind,
for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, we will chant the closing homage using the Thai tradition.
Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Avivademi Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami.
Okay, thank you. I think the cordless one, who is holding it? You did off. Thank you. Okay, now exactly 8 o'clock, which means we skip the meditation. I give you 3 minutes break. Go for whatever washroom I want. Those who don't need, you can meditate for a while. Or 5 minutes better. But I need to go to the washroom. Just now I drink a lot. Thank you.